My name is Arun Gopinath. I am 17 years old. Today is Thursday, July 27th, 2023. I am speaking with
David Eckroth,
who is my grandfather, and I'm recording this interview in Reading, Pennsylvania. So my first question is kind of a preface. It's how did you decide to become a state police officer?
In other words, when I was at the age of between 28 and 29, I had to make a decision. I was going to go to a community college. I had been accepted to go to a community college to study computer. But in the meantime, I put in an application to become a state policeman. And then I received word from the mail that I was accepted as a state policeman, but I had to go to do physical things at the academy prior to that, like swimming and stuff, and to be introduced to that. And so once I did that and I found out, then got another letter that I was accepted as a state policeman, then I went to the academy. Mm-hmm. To the academy for 6 months. We were the first six-month class to go through the academy. Prior to that, they were mostly three-month classes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know, when you would go through the academy, you have certain things you have to do, rules and regulations and your crimes code and vehicle code and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then the next question I have is, what's the difference between the jobs and responsibilities of state police officers, which you were, and then between city officers and sheriffs?
The reason probably that I took a state is because I was born on a farm and I was always, you know, a country boy, mm-hmm. you can say a country boy. And so I didn't want to be confined to like street cop, mm-hmm. a street policeman.
Yeah.
No. That was not my desire. So that is more or less the reason why I became a state policeman, because, you know, that there you can go through, even though you're assigned a certain area, mm-hmm. but you're not confined to, you know, street policeman.
Yeah. So you were able to go throughout the county.
Right. Throughout that county.
Mm-hmm. So... not necessarily from, you know, go in to leave, but an average day, typical day, what would you do on a typical day as a state police officer?
Usually it's, now granted, you have to, if you serve in the community of where you're at or the county you're at, you're responsible for the citizens of that county. Mm-hmm. You know, you protect the people.
Yeah.
And you intertwine with the people and what they want. Now, if there would be some complaint, by a complaint I mean if there's some person that would call the station and say, whether it be an accident, a theft, a crime, or something like that, that would be your priority. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you're allowed to patrol. I was on patrol most of the time while I was in the service, or was a statey, I was on patrol. And you're allowed to go throughout the county on the different roads and learn the area, which is part of that, you know, part of all being what you are. Mm-hmm. You're a trooper.
Yeah.
You start out as a trooper, and that's what you do, you know, patrol the county. Mm-hmm. And help the people. The people is the most important thing, as protect them.
Yeah.
To protect your community. Mm. Yep.
Okay, so this is a two-part question. obviously, the first part's a little bit sensitive to some degree, but what was your most, or one of your most intense moments as a police officer?
Tense. That would be when my hair is up. That would be some of the things you don't like about it is I know I was only on a job probably, or a state policeman, only for about, I just got off coach pupil, so that was a month after I was stationed where in Lancaster County. You get a call over the radio that you have to go to a certain place because of some kind of a crime that was committed. And it kind of makes the hairs on the back of your neck go, you know, go up because you're kind of leery, but you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're assigned, you do it, you know. It was a mother and a boy and her son. He stabbed her, you know. And so, yeah, you're by yourself, but there's also the chief of that borough, which that occurred, was so there. And once arriving at that scene, you know, you talk to the chief, and you have the son. No, he's not. He called, and the son come out, but he also was carrying a knife at the time. So it's kind of leery. You don't want to shoot the guy for the simple reason, yeah, he has a knife, but if he drops it, you know, obeys the commands that you give him, then that kind of alleviates some of the tension. But it's still not... What would you say? It's not the most pleasant scenes. And there's been other scenes that I've seen that a room that are a little bit more gory, should I say. You know, like I remember one time I was at an accident. Went and had to go to an accident involving two truck tractors that come hit each other. And you go there and you look, and the guy's sitting up straight. Okay, in the truck, but he's been severed at the waist, and you can't see that because he's sitting up straight.
Yeah,
so that's kind of gory. You got some of those, but the most part, you know, do you dream about it? I don't dream about it, Rune, for the simple reason, yeah, that was at that time, you know. You move on, you know. And so that's kind of the some of the instances that you go, you have them. And then other times, you know, I've had where a guy was creating a problem at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And they told him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So he left. So we asked him, you know, where did he go? So me and another trooper, we were going to go get him.
Mm.
And so we go to the house, okay? The back door's open.
Mm.
So we announce who we are, and we walk in. Well, he must have heard us or saw us coming because he was on the second floor.
Mm.
He threw a shoe down. Well, we thought he shot, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We was out of there. We were out the back door and calling for more help.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the sergeant come, and there were some others from the local borough had come. So we're going to get this guy out. How are you going to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we had, what would you say, tear gas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one borough policeman, you know, you use a canister to shoot it to go in to get him out of the house. Well, the first shot he shot went all the way over the house, went over the road, and it started dissipating. Well, you all you can do is cry because it burns your eyes, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, so I would have been, me and the other trooper that first were in there, we would have been useless because we know nothing. All we're doing is, you know, tears running down your face. So the second time, then the toughie Zimmerman, He shot. Well, it hit the frame of the window.
Mm.
Now we put the house on fire.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the guy had come out then.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely come out. So we got the house, so it was not going to burn down.
Yeah.
And got the guy back into it. So that's, you know, some of the instances of what I had gone through, and whether it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Some aren't funny, and some are, you know. But at the time, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, did you do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Could I have done something different?
Yeah.
You know, you always question yourself after, you know, you kind of go over it and say, did I do this and did I do that? Did I follow rules? Am I going to get some, you know, punished for doing what I did
mm-hmm.
and that? No.
Mm-hmm.
You just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the incident, there's more to worry about. But, you know, hindsight, looking back on it now, it's...
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's actually funny.
Yeah.
It's actually funny at room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like I say, you run around there and then you call for more help. And I know at that same time, my gun come out of the holster and I docked that. I would have been useless if mm-hmm. he had shot at us.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's see here. Are there any moments that you can look back on? Let's see, are there any you can look back on where you feel that you made a difference for someone?
I can only say, you know, prior to being usually on domestics, like husband, wife, domestic type situations, Arun, you usually took two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know this one couple used to fight all the time,
mm-hmm.
or he would be beating on her, or and she was always calling. And I got to the point where I was kind of tired of going there all the time. I could say probably as many as we went there. I know I was there at least four or five times. So you kind of get... You know, you say, in the olden time, well, I shouldn't say olden time. I should say in that time, you was told the lady
mm-hmm.
or the wife or whatever to go file charges against her husband,
mm-hmm.
but she never would do it, Arun. So
mm-hmm.
you kind of get tired of going there.
Yeah.
So I'm glad right now, Arun, that there was no, what would you say, nowadays you have videos from cell phones that you can
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
I'm glad there was none of them around because I smacked him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is what you do to your wife. Now, I'm going to do the same thing to you. So I smacked him.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And we never went back there. Which, did I help her out? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you he didn't, we didn't, he kind of realized I shouldn't do that, you know. So did we teach him a lesson? I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Or we would have been going back there, or else we would have been going back there for something that, you know, like a shooting or something like that. But no, we never went back. So that's one instance that I can remember helping that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think if there's any other. There's probably others but I don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
I can know there were some stupid things I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of stupid.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't the right thing to do, looking back on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you do what you had to do. In other words, if I did what I probably should have done, I would have got laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know that as the other guys on the station would have laughed at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I said, no, so I can't put this on record, buddy.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see. How hard? Yeah. So how hard was it to balance being, police officer and then balancing raising a family at the same time, and then did being a police officer provide support, adequate support for the family?
All right. Yeah, being a police officer is being, that's your first priority. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and the family comes second, even though you don't like it that way,
mm-hmm.
but it is. When you're committed to doing, in other words, when you take the oath of office or the oath at the academy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what you have to do. So being a police officer first, and the scheduling and everything, it can be, it can be modified if you let the sergeant know, maybe you want a day off or something like that. It can be modified for the family thing, but usually it's, in other words, you've got to schedule and you got to be there.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's what you told. You took that oath that, you would do whatever required for the state of Pennsylvania. So, family things, yeah, you did them, but you did them when you had your days off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yeah, you worked different shifts. You know, you might work like 7 to 3 today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you'd work 3 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then back the next day would be 7 to 3. You know, switch every day.
Yeah.
There's only one time, there was one shift probably every 2 or 3 months. You would work a 7-day shift of midnighters,
mm-hmm.
all 11 to 7s, okay?
Yep.
So it was you had to do as you were scheduled, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what the second part of that was?
Did the job provide adequate support?
It did. In other words, if you had a mental problem,
mm-hmm.
which most of you, they're, what would you say? It put some stress on you. The job put some stress on you, a room.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys couldn't take it, okay? So you had assistance,
mm-hmm.
that you could go to,
yeah.
or call,
mm-hmm.
for that. But you mostly relied on each other, mm-hmm. as a camaraderie.
Yeah.
In other words, other troopers.
Mm-hmm.
That was your most, who you relied on.
Yeah.
And your own brains.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what you thought was right and what you thought was wrong, you know. You kind of used everything, your mentality,
mm-hmm.
and your demeanor and everything like that. Was you a nasty cop or a good cop? Which were you?
Yeah.
Okay. You could be mean to the people and treat them as if you were subordinate to them, or you could treat the people the same as you treat everybody. They're equal. All people are the equal, and you treat them as equal and not above them. Then you have less problems.
Yeah.
But when you think you're better than people, you're going to have problems.
Mm.
And so I learned that early on in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I did throughout my time as a statey.
Yeah. So I've heard a story before, but this question ties along with that. Were there any occasions where you showed empathy or compassion for someone that you may have detained or Like while you're working, is there any time you show compassion on anybody?
Okay, let me. I can remember an individual who lived so over when I was stationed in Milton. He was a little bit off his rocker, you would say, room. Or he had a little bit of mental pressure, and he was always threatening his mom and dad. So I got the occasion to go up at one time, I don't know how many times I went there, and I kind of established a relationship with this boy, gentleman. And so he was glad when he seen me. I thought, you know, that's kind of odd. You know, he's a little bit off in his mom and dad, but yet when they would call, if he got off his rocker, wouldn't take his medication, you know, they would call, and if I was working, then I would go. They call, you know, is David working? Or Trooper Eckroth, or something like that. Is he working? And because so-and-so's, I don't even remember his name, but he was very... the first time I probably had a little bit of a problem with him, but after that, you know, you treat, it's like that, Rude. If you treat the individual with human respect, it goes a long way on that kind of art job, is by human respect. If I respect you, you're going to respect me. If you don't respect me, then we're going to have problems, okay? So I can remember that one. Let's see. You know, I stopped the guy for speeding, and I give him a break, and then he wanted to give me, you know, something in return. You know, you're not supposed to do it because that's taking gratuities. You know, just because you left him, you know, he was speeding and you give him a warning. Hey, so be it. You know, that's a choice they did that day.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? Yes, I would have. So that's, you know, that was my attitude towards the motoring public, too. Some of them, you know, the words, it's all in the attitude. If you give me an attitude problem, I might have a problem with you. But if you treat me with respect, I'll treat you with respect. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Admit you're wrong. Don't try and blame somebody else for what your wrongs are. It's your responsibility to act in a certain way.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting question. I know, like, there are local police officers for us, but some police officers are tasked in going into schools and just, you know, keeping sure the public safety in schools is safe. So that's one of their stations. Did you have any interesting special details as a state police officer?
See, that was before we had a lot of problems with the guns, the way it is now.
Yeah. So is there...
I think usually we had a regular officer that would go to schools and give speeches and stuff like that. Communications officer. And so he was the one that went to the schools. But... I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's that the officers go and stay at the schools, you know, for protection of our students and our youngsters.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have no protection whatsoever once they get off that bus or get on that bus. You know, once they leave the house, there's no protection for you.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Do I think it's a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing to have a local officer be at the school, at that school, or any school, or at all schools, I do believe.
So, like, in terms of when you think of typical police officer work and patrolling or trooping, or attending to wherever you're sent. Is there any, I would say, interesting, or is there any interesting thing that you did as a state police officer that the general public wouldn't typically think that is the responsibility of a state police officer?
I'm trying to think. In other words, you see, prior to all this trouble that we have in nowadays, Rue, we used to get bomb threats at schools. So it was almost like if you went in there and there was one there, you had no idea. Okay. Nowadays, you got your sniffing dogs that can detect bombs and stuff like that. But in the older days, or olden, prior days, you didn't have that. So what was I looking for? Well, I have no idea what I was looking for, even though I went, go to these bomb threats at high schools and stuff when they're called in. So, it's really hard to say. I think, I kind of think, by getting the children out of the schools or the students out, and then have so many hours in between and nothing happens, I think is wise to have to do that, or speak that way, you diminish any possibility of injuries. If you diminish any possibility of injuries or that, I think you're doing the right thing. So that's what I would say.
So how did you or what were your mechanisms per se to cope with stress? And then is there any advice that you would give to somebody to cope with stress who's becoming a police officer?
As far as stress, Raroon, you put the stress on yourself, okay? If you can keep this as little or as the stress level minimum, if I think the stress is when you second guess yourself, okay? If you second guess yourself a lot, you're putting a lot more stress on yourself. If you say, all right, I went to that situation, worked it out, and everything turned out fine, then the stress level's lower. But if you go, now, granted, some people can put a lot of stress on you, okay? If you go to a certain situation, say like somebody really screaming, okay? You go to gymnastics and stuff like that. In other words, if you keep your head on straight, okay, and don't let it bother you too much, and keep the stress level down, is a lot better than agreeing with these people, okay? One's wrong, there's one right. You don't know because you don't live in that household, so you don't know which is right or who's wrong, so you don't choose. You don't choose. So I would say if you can keep your stress to a minimum, in other words, use your own mentality, okay? Because if you're smart, a person can use his own head, let's say his own head, because and just do the right thing instead of something else, because you're going to make split second decisions around when you're statey, and then you don't you make a decision and stick by it is and afterwards and everything works out. Oh, that was great. Everything's fine. My stress level's down. I don't you don't stress yourself out. So it's all in how you look at situations and how much stress you put in yourself. Yeah, there is times where when you hear what you have to go to, you go, oh my God, do I have to do this? And then you say, until you get there and you use your what was you were taught, okay, at the academy, or else by your own living, the way you live, it helps a lot.
Yeah. So in today's society, police officers have many common misconceptions and stereotypes, which are gained, you know, whether by portrayal by the media or general public influence, that, you know, police officers are labeled and sometimes they're labeled in ways that are incorrect and that people make assumptions about police officers. So when you were serving or when you were a statey, were there any misconceptions from the general public at that time?
Are there any misconceptions? Usually, back when I was serving room, we didn't have a lot of, what would you say, media presence. You know, you talk to the media. Mm-hmm. You always have to be, you know, you talk to them. You give them press releases. If you have an incident, we were required to make out of something, if the media, you know, like accidents and stuff.
Yeah.
You made out who the operators were and stuff like that. So you responded to the people. Okay. You respond to the people. Now, granted, you got good and you got bad officers, okay? I can't say they're all good, Rue, because they're not. You know, you got some that have a head this big, and you got some that have, most of them have normal head.
Yeah.
But you got some swelled heads, you know, and they're bad for policemen. And that's where you're going to get the problem, because it's your mentality. Okay, I'm better than you, Rue. Is that right?
No.
No, that's not right. When you have that mentality, you're going to have problems the rest of your job, the rest of the time. And sooner or later, that's going to come out. Okay? It's going to come out. But I should say that's on so much percent, maybe 2% or something like that. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Most of them are taught well when they go through the academy, or they're selected very well when they're before you even go in, you know. So some of them are even after they get in, are kind of stupid. They do the wrong thing, and it's only right is to terminate their employment, you know, because you don't want a bad one on your job, or something like that. Now, you know, some of them do go wacky. Can I say wacky?
Yeah.
Or, you know, go off the deep end because of the job or something that they see. Now, that's scary at a station, you know. I know we had one at our station that went off the deep end, and we had to terminate his service, and now this gentleman carries a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of, there's certain scary situations, you know, but most of the part, no, you have no trouble at all your stations, but sometimes you do, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you choose, you know, I know another guy that I graduated with from the academy.
Yeah.
He chose the wrong thing. He was a drug enforcement officer. Well, he got hooked.
Yeah.
And he's down under the ground now. Yep. But it's all in what you choose and how you react.
So throughout your time as a police officer, I know covered decent portion of time, have any of the practices changed, or you know, like standardized when you first started and when you first left the academy to when you retired, had anything changed in terms of the job?
Everything changes over time, Arun. I know, you know, you get better equipment, okay? Mm. You get better equipment. You know, we didn't have tasers.
Mm-hmm.
We never had no tasers while I was on it, okay? Mm. Is it a good thing? Sure. You don't want to abide by the command I give you. You know, after so many warnings, I'm going to tase you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we carry pepper spray.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that make you, that stuns some people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I would say, people that are on drugs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an instance where me and another trooper, the hospital called us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy come in, and he was on drugs.
Yeah.
And they couldn't control him in the emergency room.
Mm.
Well, you know, being smart as we were, the trooper and I, we told the nurses, going out, it's going to be me and this other guy and that guy. We'll help you out.
Mm.
We went in, okay, room.
Yeah.
And we used our pepper spray.
Uh-huh.
All right. That calmed him down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when the nurses come back in, seeing how calm he was, we said, kind of wash his eyes out. Okay. Would you please wash his eyes out and don't touch him for a little while until after you wash his eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to shoot him.
No.
You don't want to do that. So, but... just to comply with what you want compared to the way he was before.
Yeah.
Yep. If you want to be a bully or whatever, we'll take care of you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We'll listen to you for a while, but then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain limit where you're right to a certain limit.
Yeah.
And after that, you went over the limit. You're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we got to take action.
Yep.
Yep.
So then by the time that you were a veteran officer, later stages of your career, did you ever have to mentor someone?
No, that's something I didn't really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the simple reason, yeah, I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anytime after... You know, you can take a trooper under your wing for it. Because when you come out of the academy, you're assigned to a trooper that's been on the station or he might have been there 10 years or more,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or 8 years or 10 years or 12 years. So usually they assign to a fresh trooper out of the academy.
Yeah.
Okay? Did I want to do it? Not really, Arun, because I was kind of set in my ways I did things.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I was kind of more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
And was I can't say I was a leader,
mm-hmm.
but I can't say I was a follower. I was in between.
Yeah.
Okay? Which put, you know, yeah, I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But... why should I give my skills, which is probably wrong thinking, that if my skills to somebody, if he's not the same individual,
yeah,
you know, he's not the same individual as I am, and maybe he don't even think the same way as I do because everybody has their own way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which is good, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you think, and we can communicate.
Yeah.
Communication's a big part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, burnout and fatigue are fatigue over working so long, common parts of the job as police officers. You know, some of the reasons that people retire early. How did you manage to...
the burnout and that?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of the time, you know, they're... burnout back then, it was a lot easier because you didn't have all the different, what would you say? A lot. You had the drugs, Arun,
mm-hmm.
okay, but you you didn't deal a lot with the drugs, okay, like you do nowadays. If I would show you the communicator that we used to get, it was always about drugs, guns, and that. So I can't say I ever got burnt out.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I think if you burn yourself out, then you're overdoing it as a policeman. Okay. And scheduling back in my time was not a factor because if you ask, like I say, if you ask, they would be more than accommodating if they could in the scheduling. So I don't think there was a lot of that kind of burnout
or
that room.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't say there is, and I can't say there isn't.
Mm-hmm. So because we're, you know, running out of time slowly, I have one fun question and then an ultimate question. So the fun question I have is, were there any car, do you miss having a car, police car, versus driving your car now that you're...
It's like this room. I've been stopped since I've been retired.
Yeah.
And the trooper, when he come up, you know, of course I tell him who I am.
Yeah.
He could see because he asked the same things I always ask many, many times. Mm. All right, for driver's license and registration.
Yeah.
Then I told him, yeah, I was on the job with you. He says, I can understand. He says, usually we kind of have a heavy foot, a lead foot, and you still do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to slow down or take it slower around if you're taught, you know, hey, you got to get this guy. You know, this guy's going 110, and you're going from a dead stop to getting him, you're going to speed.
Mm-hmm.
This community, or the community in which you're supposed to serve, if you do that to the, you know, for the community and to the people, and treat the people as human beings, not somebody that you can walk on, you're going to have a more peaceful employment with as being a policeman than if you try and walk on somebody. So don't be aggressive. To other people.
Yeah.
Treat them as human beings.
Mm-hmm. So, for the most part, that wraps up my interview. We didn't get to all the questions, but we answered all the important ones that I wanted to answer. And we also gained a main idea, a very important idea of treating each other with respect. And respect goes a long way. And I think that goes for not only being a police officer, but I think that's a life lesson. And for that, I thank you for being a part of this interview. And this is going to be on StoryCorps, and this will be used for my English project. Thank you very much for participating.
Yeah, anytime, Arun.
Thank you.
Very good talking to you.